how dangerous and everything Olam Hazeh is and Gashmis is. And he says that, first of all, you're going to chase it your whole life and you're never going to get it. You're going to chase and chase and chase and you're never actually going to get it. Number two is, even if you do get it, it's not going to last forever. It's not going to go with you to the kever. Number three is that there's a moznayim, there's a scale. So you may be up now, but the same, but you're going to be down tomorrow. Okay, now he says, let's remember the old generation, the people that have already gone down this road. The last thing you want to do, it's bad to make a mistake once. What's the expression? It's bad to make a mistake once, even worse to make a mistake twice, or something like that. And these people, he says, they lost everything. But then he adds in words, "Umekablim al zedinim merubim." They are going to get din for this. So what does he mean, "Mekablim al zedinim"? So if you remember back to the Sefer Evan Shlema that we learned, okay, we learned it together in this shir. So the Evan Shlema, at the beginning of the Evan Shlema, especially also, he was very, very stark in some of the Musar. And he said this, he said a very similar thing to this idea. And he said the following. He says, "Kol ha-hanois sha-adam nene ba'olam hazeh." Everything that a person received benefit from in this world, yishapchu lo bekever lemara, are going to turn bitter for him in the grave. Because everything he benefited from was taking benefit from Olam Hazeh, and not channeling it to Ruchnius. So it was left in the physical form. Everything physical is going to have to undergo a certain amount of change or perfection in order to become spiritual and be Shayach. You got to convert it, right? You got to go through a conversion process, convert this currency to that currency, right? So when you're going from Olam Hazeh to Yemos HaMashiach, you're going to have to convert all the currency into spirituality. So the gashmias that became part of you, that was pure gashmias for the purpose of kavod, honor, taiva, whatever it was, that remained gashmias, and it's going to have to go through a conversion process. When you get conversion, you don't get dollar for dollar. When you go through a conversion process, the money changer charges a fee. So there's a dinim there. That's what he means. There's going to be dinim v'akrumim hamisavim ne'enoshim v'chibut hakever. It means there's going to be a certain pain of chibut hakever. Chibut hakever is the pain when the neshama leaves the guf. And that, the question is, how painful is it? So the Gemara says that a tzaddik, for him, chibut hakever is like taking a hair out of milk. And for someone it's not, it's like removing, why? Because when the person was basically all spiritual, all physical, so his neshama, to find the spiritual point, is going to have to keep on converting all the physicality to neshama and then pulling it out. Whereas if the person was all neshama, the guf was really there to help the neshama the whole time. So then the neshama is really able to just utilize everything. And then he said, "Visham nidoin kol aver ve'aver shenena bo'ilam hazeh shaloi b'mitzvah." Every part of the person's body that was nene without a mitzvah, sorfen oisek ke'eres shel nachash, will be burnt or stung like the venom of a snake. Okay, and then so that's what he means over here. It's fascinating how the gra ne'adrabo, a person who was but a person who took from this world the Shem Shemayim to help him do his Avodas Hashem better, to appreciate the world, to help him, give him strength, etc. Then everything he does and eats is like a carbon. Okay? So that's what the Gra is saying here when he says a person that gets Hana, a person gets Hana from this world, he will get dinim on it. He will have a din on it. The din means he's going to get chibat hakever. He's going to be punished the same way he says this in the Evan Shlema. Okay? I'll tell you something interesting. Again, I heard from this rabbi that was here over the weekend, over Shabbos. It's not exactly on this point, but it's somewhat related. Did I ever tell you the story with Moshe Feinstein? that Moshe was fully Torah. I said, this is included to you. Okay, so he said over the following story, Rabbi Zimmer, he said over the following mice. He said he went one time to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, and he asked Rabbi Moshe a shayla about a certain area in Hilchos Tznius. And Rabbi Moshe said, this is not a problem. It's mutter. This particular thing is mutter, it's not a problem. So he said to him, really, but there's other big gedolim, perhaps, you know, chassidish gedolim or whatever, but not just not real gedolim, that say it's mutter. That say it's aser. So he said, Rav Moshe told me, and he said, these were his words. He said, I never learned or studied or heard anything other than Torah my whole life. So if I'm telling you that it's mutter, it's because Torah says it's mutter. So then what? Then he added on. So then he said, I had the chutzpah, and I said, but they're also gedolim, these people. So he said, these gedolim can't come from Catholic Eastern European countries, Hungary, Austria countries, and they were slightly influenced from the countries that they were in. I came from White Russia, where there was nothing to be influenced from, and I was never influenced from the outside world at all. So my das is more rain than anyone else's. The Moshe Feinstein was considered like the biggest anav, you know, the most humble person. That you read the books, you're like he let people like step all over. He was right, but Moshe, you know, said about himself that the reason he was zoicha to this siyata d'shmaya is because of how much he was plugged in just to Torah. So a person like that, imagine a person like that, you know, is eating and drinking and taking. He's not interested in all this stuff. He's not interested in Olam Hazeh. He's using everything just to further his Avodas Hashem. He's cool. He's a piece of Torah. I mean, there's nothing else going on over there, you know? So, but I thought that story was pretty incredible when you know. So now, Mahana La'adam. Shesofo lifresh la'afar, remove it to Ilea, everything's going to turn into worms. V'chol ha'nois, he's hapchulei bekever, lamara. Then he says, v'hamoves, karuch ba'adam. What does the Gra mean here? So there's a lot of mefarshim on these words of the Gra, because they're fascinating words. It says, moves, death, is karuch ba'adam, is wrapped around the person. What's he trying to say? So what he's trying to say is the following, that a person, in order for a person to really put in perspective their life, they have to understand that there's death. That we're not here forever. It's a certain Musar concept. Now, said we tend to not think about that. Most people tend to avoid thinking about death. Not very comfortable. It's not a very comforting thought. Most people avoid thinking about death. So why? Look, I'm right now I'm alive. I'm becheskas that I'm alive. You know, there's a concept in halacha called chazaka. Chazaka means that the state that you're in will continue. So right now I'm alive. I'm becheskas that I'm alive. Why should I soon bring in something else, right? It's like the Gemara says that if a woman, his husband is a kohen, so she's allowed to eat truma, and then her husband goes on a trip. You don't say, maybe she should stop eating truma because maybe her husband died and she has to go back to being a Yisrael. No, we're not chayish for Misa. Well, because chazaka they've got, but so chazaka is that you're alive, right? So you go to a mikveh, you don't have to measure it every time. If it was good yesterday, it's good today. There, if it was good yesterday, it's good today. It's a concept of chazaka. So if there's a chazaka concept, so why should I think that I'm going to die? I'm alive. So what happens if you have a mikvah that has a leak in it? Well, a leak makes it possible. But let's say you have a mikvah that every day someone comes in and takes out a cup. So now you have a question. The fact that it was kosher last week, does that mean it's kosher this week? It's going down. If it's going down, you lost your chazaka. So they want to say what the girl means, hamavis karuch, means death doesn't come from the outside. Death comes from the inside. A person was pre-programmed that he will die eventually. It's not like you're living forever and it happens to be Hashem one day decides to take away your life. The life of a person is such that he will die. So this Rabbi Zimmerman also, he said an unbelievable thing. He heard the shtick with the cells, very fascinating thing. He said that when a person dies, most people die from disease or something like that. They get some sort of illness, okay? So he said there was a study out of the University of Paris that studied the cells, the makeup of a cell of a person. So you know that the cells that you have in your body regenerate themselves, and the cells that you have on your body every 7 years are completely different than the ones that you had originally. So how long can that process go for? And the cells of a person, how long could they last and continuously regenerate themselves? And they said that a person, that is the lifespan of a person. The real lifespan of this person is how long their cells can live had there not been any outside disease problems. And the University of Paris study was, that was 120 years. So the bracha, when you tell someone you should live to 120, how many people you know live to 120 means you should never get sick. You should never have an illness. You should live and then expire at 120 when your body runs out of battery automatically. There's no more ability to continue. But that means that a person is already pre-programmed. They're not going to live forever. See, we think we're here forever. And then one day Hashem will come in and decide, I'm taking it away. No, the misa is there. A person doesn't live forever. So you say, that's why Hamavis Karuch Ba'adam. I'm sorry to be so depressing, you know, but you gotta talk, you know, this is a Musar Seder. So, you know, sometimes Musar works when you're inspiring, you know, sometimes Musar's gotta be, you know, you gotta say it the way it is. So, you know, I kind of warned everyone, that's what some of this letter will be. But soon we're gonna get to, I mean, even tomorrow, we're gonna get out of this section and into things that are a little different. The world, the way it is basically full of people getting angry and depressed. And your jealousy and unhappiness doesn't even allow you to sleep. So the Chassam Sofer says pshat in the pasuk. This pasuk that the girl is saying is a pasuk in Koheles. What's the pasuk? What's the full pasuk? It says, just listen carefully to the pasuk. I said this over once in this shir, but it's a great chapter in the Chassam Sofer. So listen carefully to the pasuk. It says, Mesuka shnas ha'oved. The sleep of an employee, a guy that works for his salary, Mesuka, sweet. So Mesuka shnas ha'oved. In ma'atvim harbi yochal. If he has a lot, he's okay. He's making a salary. Vehasoiva la'ashir, but the wealth of the rich guy, einina maniach l'alishon, does not allow the rich guy to sleep. So the guy who's on salary is making his little bit of money. He's good. So he sleeps better than the guy who's rich. Does make sense? That's what Koheles is saying, right? But that itself is strong muscle, right? I'm fine. I'm making my money. I'm making my salary. I have enough money to live. The other guy who has a business and he can't sleep at night, right? Even though worst case scenario that he loses that deal and he loses that entire building, he'll still have more money than half of the other people in the world, right? But I say he can't sleep at night. But the people that have less money than he ever dreamt of are fine. So that's the Pasha Pshat in the Pasha. But the Chassam Sofer says, now read it a little differently. It says, the poor person can sleep at night. But the wealth of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. Meaning, it doesn't allow the poor person to go to sleep. What doesn't allow the poor man to sleep is his jealousy of the rich man. That's how some say to read the passage. Means the poor man would have gone to sleep fine, as far as he's concerned. But then he sees the other guy. Wow, So it's the jealousy on the other guy that doesn't let him go to sleep. That's how Chassam Sefer reads it. And I think that's what the Gra is saying. Because he says, he was talking about, you know, the pain. Okay, maybe he's reading the Pashup Shop, but either way, that's the Musar. Okay, so tomorrow he starts talking now about more specific instructions about different areas of halacha. So we'll get into those tomorrow.
Okay, good night.
Thank you. Good night.